Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
Okay, you're with Dom. Somebody might have my winning answer or a potential winning answer to the side question online. Just saying, we'll come to you in a minute. RFK Jr. Talked movingly, I'll give him that on this, about all the people in the Kennedy family who, he says, succumbed to a disease. I still say, and I'm going to ask this question, are we better off saying this is a disease, or are we better off saying it's not? I'm talking about addiction. I think we're better off saying it's not a disease. Well, why did so many of the Kennedys and Dom die of drug addiction and things of that area? Look at the family. Maybe there's some indication there of various behaviors and things that you would see playing out that would result in that. Kennedy said, I lost my brother, who's my closest friend, to this disease. I lost another brother, not directly through overdose, but through what I believe is the symptom of this disease. During the pandemic, I lost a niece who was like a daughter to me, who lived in our house for much of our life and died in my mom's house, took her first drug there and died there. I lost another niece a few months later, not to death, but she's a quadriplegic. She was sober. She went out on just a night and she became a quadriplegic. So we're all affected by this. Okay. Now, a lot of things, when we were there, we had Dr. Marty on yesterday. We had the food babe on that he's doing on food. I'm in lockstep on that and think this is going to be a big legacy. But this today was to talk about addiction and how many years. I can almost remember when this first came up in talk radio. It's got to be 20 years or so of people pushing that line. It's a disease like any other disease. And then it extended beyond this, which does have a physical component, withdrawal and all that, into things like sex addiction and various food things or gambling, and they're a disease. Yeah, you know, we don't want to bludgeon the person battling this. In fact, we celebrate them when they were able to be clean and tell us, they call in and they say for 5 years, that's something to celebrate. But are we better off if the nation's chief health person, yeah, aside from the Surgeon General, I forget who that is. I mean, he's driving this stuff, talks about this today as a disease. 855-839-1210. Have you come around to say, yeah, this is a disease like any other disease? I just cannot believe that. When I look with someone stricken with cancer, and then I look at the Kennedys and the number of people that got involved with drugs and ended up dead. And I'm supposed to say, it's a title we're using and saying it's a disease like other diseases. Do you see it that way? And I guess the other question is that helpful to do that? Or is it tough love, but to say, no, it's not a disease. It's something that you're going to have to work yourself out of. Before I take a call, here's Pam Bondi, too. A good time to play her. Pam Bondi was on a national show or some kind of confab. And the number you're going to hear her put out here, the attorney general, is remarkable. She was making the point about the number of fentanyl pills. This is cut 15 in just 2025, just this year that she's been attorney general. How many have they seized of fentanyl pills? Here's Pam Bondi.
In 2025, just in this year, we have seized 21.5 million fentanyl pills. That's crazy, though. And 3,100 pounds of fentanyl. But think how many millions of lives were saved by taking that off the street. You know, we're getting, whether it's a nightclub in Colorado or a drug warehouse in Washington State or somewhere in Southern California, it's all over the country. But working hand in hand with all of my law enforcement agencies, ATF, DEA, FBI, especially DEA on these, but also, again, with Homeland Security, and we all work so well together. We're doing everything we can to get this trash off our streets.
21.5 million pills. Wow. Just since roughly 3 months, multiply that by times four, so we're approaching 85 million pills. Well, who knows if they'll be out. I guess they'll still be out there. But RFK Jr., making the point today of all the people in the Kennedy family that were lost to drugs, this disease. And I think that's the point that he's making. I don't see it that way. Is that unkind? Is that unscientific that you have to call that this a disease? We were down this path for X number of years, and I've always felt it's off the mark. All right, let's go to the Earl of Tacony on Talk Radio 1210. Earl, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Don. Didn't know you've been talking about Maryland Man all week. Didn't know if you wanted a song based on Neil Young's Southern Man, or you just want me to get to the question.
We'll get it one of these days, Earl, on that. We got a lot of people that want to get in. So, yeah, what do you have?
No problem.
What do you have on a question today?
That's why I always ask. My answer today is hydrogen in airships, in dirigibles,
yes,
and blimps.
Mm-hmm.
Hydrogen is much cheaper to make, much, much cheaper to make than helium. But helium is much safer. But you got to realize they did it to save money, which makes sense. But, I mean, they took sugar out of soda and put corn syrup in to save money. Nobody stopped buying soda. People die in car crashes all the time, and we still drive cars. People die in airplane crashes all the time, and we still fly in airplanes. One blimp crashes, and a couple dozen people die, and automatically we stop riding in blimps. I mean, blimps were the future. The Empire State Building was built. There is a loading bay on the top of the Empire State Building. You could go to New York City, go to the Empire State Building, go to the top, and actually get onto a blimp in downtown Manhattan and fly around, but they shut it down because they shut down the blimp industry. It's one crash completely destroyed it all.
Well, when you have a crash, though, with the immortal words, "Oh, the humanity," you know what's going to happen. Yeah.
God is my witness. I thought turkeys could fly.
All right.
That's the other one.
Thank you, Earl. Yeah, they're hydrogen. And I had that. I've seen that on most of the big list. The Beatles, Decca Records, not signing them, is also up there. But somebody in the Northeast had the one that I've always, and I give you enough clues, no more clues, that would possibly be a winner with me. Okay, RFK Jr., disease. He goes through all the Kennedys. It's sad in the Kennedy family, but are there other reasons there? You know, did the Kennedys have some flaws in there other than what we were seeing? It's a troubled family across the board, a lot of problems. And this is the course that some took. A disease in what sense, though? You know, what does that mean every time that we hear that? I'm not sure he did this today, if he's going to go on some initiative or campaign reinforcing that. But I'm not on board with that. I don't care who says it. I'm not going to be on board with it. By the way, President Trump did jump in and settle something we talked about, and people got pretty riled up and said, well, maybe you shouldn't talk about this. This is cut three. Remember last week, came to light that any number of these people around President Trump were trying to convince him, let's raise marginal tax rates on the super wealthy. I'm not sure the math is there, if it's a 1% or even under 1%, because we want to give the tax on tips, make that go away, Social Security. We want to take away overtime, and I'm on board with all those. But do we give ground to the Democrats? Like, that's going to appease them and say we're going to raise the rate, I think, by a percentage point back up instead of the Trump tax cuts on those that are called the ultimate or the ultra rich or relatively ultra. Maybe it's 1%. Maybe it's a hair under 1% of people. And here's what President Trump said yesterday in the Oval Office when reporters asked.
And secondly, would you support a millionaire tax?
I think it would be very disruptive because a lot of the millionaires would leave the country. You know, the old days, they left states. They go from one state to the other. Now with transportation so quick and so easy, they leave countries. You'll lose a lot of money if you do that. That would, and other countries that have done it have lost a lot of people. They lose their wealthy people. That would be bad because the wealthy people pay the tax. Okay?
All right. So it gives me hope here that he's not going to be listening to the musers of the world and these others that are telling him, sir, you got to do this. Democrats will never go for taking away that tax on overtime, Social Security, and tips if you don't give them this. They're still not going to be in favor of it. They're still going to fight it to the death.
Is he really using the excuses that they're going to leave?
Well, I think he's just signaling with that. I would rather hear it hurts the economy, it's unfair. Yeah, why would you tax them?
I'm sorry, yeah, because no one's going to leave the United States. We're going to hide out. Where are you going to hide out? Well, before at least you get bored for a little.
Yeah. I don't know the number of people that believe that they're just millionaires based upon the tax, but I think he's saying something there. For some reason, he doesn't want to get into the philosophy. I don't know why. I would have rather have heard that and just say, yeah, and all these people you hear talking to me, I'm not listening to that. We're not going to. That's philosophically wrong. I'd rather hear that too, but this is the mindset that translates. I was just glad to hear him on record saying no to this. Now, I could change in a heartbeat. And I think Dan Muser has outed himself here. He wants to run for governor. He's running for governor. Stacey Garrity, I don't think is saying that. Dave McCormick, when I had him on, shot that down completely and said, hell no, I'm not going to be doing that. So Trump yesterday, did he shut it down to Henry's point? No, I mean, that was not the number one thing. But he did go on record saying, no, we're not going to be doing this stuff to make up for this. Which one of the three stands the best chance of getting through? Tax on tips, tax on overtime, or tax on Social Security? I'd say the best one is tips. That's the most popular. That's the most everyman. That's the most that would help people. My personal favorite would be the tax on overtime. We want people to work more, encourage them, society more productive. What do? You take away the tax on overtime. I haven't seen the polling, but the tax on tips is a winner. Will Democrats fight it? Yes, they'll still fight it. They'll do what about? What about Elon Musk? What about all that? How are we paying for it? Are you a fool? He's just trying to buy you. No, people want that no tax on tips. That is a big. I don't have a lot of confidence in Mike Johnson, I'll be honest, to get it done. But Trump wants it. His instincts are exactly right that people would want this. It's a wonderful idea. And, you know, these people at the Wall Street Journal that say, well, that's a targeted tax, Dom. Why would you be in favor of that? You don't benefit for it. It ought to be universal. I'm in favor of removing every tax that we can on every one of them. Fight every battle. Every single day you wake up, how can I take away tax money from the Democrats? And the tips thing is extremely appealing to me. Extremely appealing. These are the people working hard on that. It would have a big benefit for them. Now, I'm trying to remember who we had on talking about this, but there's some people that say, well, people will not tip as much. And I don't think that's going to happen. But if you work for tips, what would you ever have in your life? And I bet a third of people listening or more have done something at some time where a tip possibly could get involved. What would that mean, do you think? We had on, I know it was $22 an hour was the median that they said in Jersey that people make. Oh, we had Johnny Z on. That's who we had on, talking about that law that wants to stop the owner from counting some of the tips toward what they pay people. So taking away the tax on tips would help business owners and all, too. It would just stimulate everything. And I don't think people are going to tip less because of that. You get in at 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. All we need you to do is just push pound 1210, and you're in. Great side question today, too. Tonight, the big draft. So hit us with what you see as the all-time worst decision or choice, however you want to look at it. That's what we're looking for. I mean, hit us with a
stunner.
Can
I submit one?
Yeah, go right ahead.
I want to throw one of my own in.
Yeah.
Bleaching one's hair is an all-time
bad decision. Oh, that's bad? Yeah, you think so?
Oh, yeah, for a guy? Are you kidding me? Because during the Eminem era, it became a fad for young teenage boys. So I bleached my hair and pierced an ear.
Well, the ear piercing is an all-time
bad decision,
though.
Yeah, but did you take a new Coke off the board?
No, we did not. Okay, there's a good one.
That's one people can relate to.
Yeah, that's one. But I had a big one that's even constitutional that had two constitutional amendments involved with it. So that tells you it had to really be a bad decision.
How about Hulk Hogan passing on a grill that later became the George Foreman grill?
I didn't know that one. Uh-huh. Yeah, the lot of this passing on, I've never understood why people would pass on. That's beneath me. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, come on.
Do it. You know, who knows? It might take off. If it doesn't, what did you lose?
I don't know about that. There is a new Trump watch that I'm not too fond of.
Oh, well, but he's still making some money off it, apparently. Yeah, they're making money. Okay. You can hit us with any of those at 855-839-1210. I'm going to go to this. I'm taking this call right away. I'm surprised at where she's going with this. I kind of agree. Is Reagan more consequential than Trump? Trump's doing a big interview with Jeffrey Goldberg, of all people, because the headline is most consequential president of the century. But what I think they're saying in our lifetime, most consequential president, I say Reagan is still ahead. If you bring down the Soviet Union, it's going to be pretty hard to beat you, even for Trump. But Trump is such a disruptive force. You got to say that's consequential. Leslie and Bryn Mawr on the Reagan side of this. Oh, hi, Leslie. Welcome in.
Hi. Aloha.
Aloha.
I am not saying that Reagan is more consequential. I'm saying that it's too soon to determine if Trump may be more consequential. Trump is still acting president, and he's doing all kinds of things. And who knows what the next 3 years will bring and what, you know, great things may come out of it.
Yeah, but Leslie, come on now. You're a spoil sport here. We have to ask where we are right now. We're not going to wait 3 years. You're taking every good question away. What are you doing?
Well, you know, you're judging Reagan on his served terms.
Yes.
But Trump hasn't finished his.
Well, I realize that, but we can see, you know, the power that he has on this. All I'm saying is I still would go with Reagan almost no matter what Trump does, because I can't imagine having a chance to do something. I can't see what's consequential enough, as consequential as Trump is, bringing down the Soviet Union. I just can't imagine how you beat it.
Bringing down socialism in America?
Yeah. Okay.
That's pretty big. He's thrown a major roadblock into the socialist agenda, and I think that's pretty consequential. We could be just like the Soviet Union had Trump not got in there.
All right. Well, I even project him. I even said this. I don't see anybody who's going to be more consequential than Donald Trump coming along. I don't see, on so many fronts, what he's done. Like a J.D. Vance could be a nice president, but he's not going to have the consequence of this guy.
No, I agree. Yeah, no. Trump is a standalone character.
Exactly. The only thing Reagan has going for him, to me, is the actual thing that happened. And you're right, he's got three more years. But growing up then, people were thinking, we're never going to, Soviet Union's always going to be there. I'm still shocked. I don't see how you beat that.
Well, we'll see.
Yep.
3 years is many things can happen. Look at the damage that was done in four with Biden.
Well, without now, and as
so
far
Trump,
as
so
as far
Trump
as damage,
has to start with 1 foot in the hole,
right?
Because he has to
right.
repair all of that. And if he hadn't had to repair all of that, we would be in a much better state today.
Well, the two of them, I would almost match Jimmy Carter. As far as having to come out of something, look at what he left, almost as bad as Biden.
Yeah. Not nearly as bad, though. This country was on the verge of really falling off the cliff into a socialist agenda.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter wasn't doing that. He was just wrecking the White House tennis courts. Leslie, what's your...
Well, that yeah. and starting the Department of Education.
Okay. What's your side? I think this is a pretty good one.
So this company made a $1.4 billion bad decision. First, they hired a millennial to do their marketing, and that millennial, in their wokeness, thought it would be a great idea to put Dylan Mulvaney on Bud Light cans and become the spokesperson. But as a result of that $1.4 billion bad decision, America woke up and said, we're not going to stand for this anymore. And it was the beginning of the end of wokeness.
Yeah, absolutely. The Dylan Mulvaney thing still goes today. Thank you, Leslie. Very good. No, Dan, I don't think that crew that we came in with was the interview crew for the Atlantic. I don't think it's happened yet, although they looked like a crew that would be coming in for the Atlantic.
It did. And yeah. That's why I wondered. But they said that the interview or the impression is that they haven't done it yet, right?
It's yeah, the impression is they have not done it
because
yet.
It seems kind of secretive because as we entered into the gate through Secret Service, we
right.
didn't have the daily press credentials that some of the press people have.
Right.
So we had to go through an extra screening. And along with us were another group of individuals who didn't have that daily press,
Right.
credential, and they also had to go through it. We didn't ask their source, but they said that they were there, quote, for an interview.
Yeah, they didn't look like pro-Trump guys to me.
And I wouldn't assume after everything that happened that Atlantic would be given an overall, kind of press credential. So I would assume that the reporters would have to go through the same process we did. So,
I think Trump would be there to greet him at the gate. He wants
so?
This interview.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, the working title is most consequential president of the century. Trump doesn't care what they say in this. As long as the Atlantic has that big cover and says most consequential president.
Yeah, but they're not going to make that a positive thing at all.
That doesn't matter.
Negative.
He doesn't care about
the word
that.
Notable,
I don't think so.
Well.
I would take that if I were Trump. If somebody says you're the most consequential talk show host, that's all I want. Well, we hate you. Most consequential. That's what you want. That guy was the most consequential that year. I still think it's a pretty good thing. Coming from the Atlantic.
They can also be used to describe absolutely terrible people.
Well, I'm sure they're going to say that, but he doesn't care.
Like
they
some
see
of the worst leaders of all time could be called the most consequential leader of their
well,
own.
Well, they're going to say... Despite,
like Kim Jong-un right, might be the... Yeah. No, actually, probably not. But
they're going to say, despite how bad Trump is, he is incredibly consequential. And he's going to bring up at the news conference the next day, they call me consequential. That's what will come out of this. Wow, this is going to be...
it's going to be a hit piece.
And
though.
I still think that was Stephen Miller. And Rose said, it wouldn't be anything wrong to say, yo, Stephen, as the bald guy was walking by with a cell phone.
Henry, we saw a skinny bald guy who looked like he might have been balding prior to the right age.
Yes.
Dom is utterly convinced that this individual is Stephen Miller. And I am 100% sure it's not Stephen Miller.
What's wrong with yelling, Hey, Steven, great stuff.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Dom on this one. Like, what's the harm in yelling that out? And you look at him like, oh, sorry, I thought you were a different guy.
Yeah, that's all. If he's Stephen Miller, he might come over and we get a word with him.
As long as you're not, snapping at him, like, yo, Stevie boy.
Exactly.
The thing is, though, we at that point, Dom, we hadn't known who our escort would be into the White House.
Right.
So if you were to yell, yo, Steven, come over here, and this guy walks away looking for us and comes back and happens to be our escort, it would be a very embarrassing moment, would it not?
That's okay.
Like, oh,
no, I'm telling the guy,
Stephen
hey, we thought you were one of the White House stars. He's maybe fourth place in the White House stars, I think.
You know, like when you're in church as a kid and your mother's grip gets a little stronger when you're being too loud and you should quiet down?
Yeah.
I had one of those moments yesterday.
What, during the...
Stephen Patz, like, should I say, is that Stephen Miller? Should I say
it? You're holding his hand?
Exactly.
Me and Dom always hold hands.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I thought we were too loud in the interview room. That's always a problem. You forget you're in an interview room. Loosen up a little bit. I don't mind if people in a radio row, since there were only five there, not seven, were loud or whatever. It doesn't bother me. It's fine. They just monopolized the guest, and she was walking out the door as I had to talk to another interview. What do you do in that situation?
Sitting across the row from Todd Starnes, I was genuinely thinking you were going to go just dip into his show and randomly appear on.
Oh, I thought he
should have.
You thought he was going to invite me over. Yes.
Yeah.
Would have.
What happened? Why weren't you on it? What the heck?
I don't know.
Come on, Todd.
Yeah. Come on, Todd. I don't know what you were doing there in Kansas. All right. 855-839-1210. You can get in. So what's that bad decision or bad choice? There's a big one still out there. And is Trump more consequential than Reagan? Since this Atlantic, I agree. Even the Atlantic and all. How can you hate the guy when he gives you access? If somebody gives me access, I went through that with John Street, and listeners said the same thing. Hey, he was good enough to come on. We argued when he was mayor, back and forth, and then he still came on later. How can you get mad at that? They're giving you access. They're willing to take the back and forth. What more can you ask for, right? I mean, it's an obvious thing. So why did Trump do it? The only thing I'd say is this. You know, he gives enough unfriendly interviews that's taken away from friendly people who are very supportive. But he's got to do what he has to do to craft whatever narrative. And how does he lose if he talks to the Atlantic, even if they kill him? And the headline on the cover says, most consequential president of the century. That's all that you want from them. You can run with that. Trump knows that. 855-839-12.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. Because we started together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Okay, it is Dom time, 855-839-1210, AT&T and Verizon Wireless. All that you have to do is push pound 1210. Saw this today, and I thought of Scott Presler, who's featured by a couple of national services that we use as the Republican secret weapon in both Pennsylvania and New Jersey. It's an Amish sawmill that burnt to the ground April 8th. Burns to the ground. The Amish, if you've seen Witness, you see the barn raising. They all come, hundreds of them together. They rebuild it, and it was operational again on the 16th. So it burns down April 8th. It takes them 8 days, and they don't have modern equipment or anything, as far as I know, per se. And they have it up and running, rebuilt, giant building, too, within 8 days. How long would it take the federal government? How many years? What kind of environmental regulations? What kind? Amish, get out there, build that. It's a great thing in witness. I think they build a barn in one day there. That may be a little bit, but 8 days, a fully operational sawmill that's pretty big. They have it up and running.
Wow.
And I immediately think of the genius of Scott Presler. These are the guys I'm going to go and recruit and turn out the Amish when we need a big vote. That's where he hits the hinterlands.
Can I also just give some credit down? So down in North Carolina, in Chimney Rock Village, an Amish group actually took it upon themselves to travel down there. And for the past 6 months, have been greatly repairing an entire community down there and doing a great job doing so.
Yeah, this is the issue with the antsiness of Trump, et cetera, with the federal government. I mean, it's slow. It's a monopoly. So the executive order he signed yesterday, one that's underrated. I've been kidding about this with Dom Giordano University. But I would consider it, based on this order, it not only is going to go after these colleges to be discredited or unaccredited, based upon the DEI policies. They're changing the accreditation process. But one of the reasons colleges are so high is it's a monopoly. There's a group, as I understand it, really, the major group is only about six people. And they come up with all these things that you have to be called an accredited college. Like you need a library of a certain size. Why? I mean, if you want to cut costs, you could certainly make it that people could go to a college, get a good education for under $10,000, maybe even $8,000, even in these prices right now. That could be done. Well, I wouldn't get a good education. What are you talking about? How much of college is the accoutrements? I mean, it's almost like ski lodges or swim clubs or something. The arms race to go to these colleges, and kids do it. They get sucked into it. They pay a big, big fee. When Rutgers charges $400,000 to DoorDash for the dinners just for a football team and coaches, you see where money goes. And this all adds up. In other words, I didn't see him say it yesterday. He's got a million details in mind. But what happens here is it's not just about stopping Harvard. Could they discredit Harvard? Mean it not be accredited? Yeah, they could. I'd love to see it based upon what they, oh my God, you're doing that to Harvard? Would people still go to Harvard? Yeah, they would, but we'd have a big fight. Hey, that piece of paper, it says Harvard on it. You can't come in here. That's not a college degree, not recognized. But it's more open this door to cheaper and cheaper alternatives where people could get a college degree without going into debt for crazy amounts. That's what we're looking to try to do. That's what the beauty is in this whole thing that I hope they take apart. I didn't hear that quite yet. That's what I'm going to be trying to push for and remind them of. That's where the opportunity is. All right, let me go to Scott in Mount Laurel. And Scott, you're in on Talk Radio 1210. Afternoon, Scott. Hi. We were just talking about you. Where's Scott in Mount Laurel been?
We did just have that conversation.
Yeah, we just had that conversation. Is that Stephen Miller over there?
He talked me up.
Doing the math. Basketball season's just ending, right?
Right. So. Scott, what's yelling, hey, Stephen Miller, love what you said about due process and infinity. The guy would say, I'm not Stephen Miller. Well, I loved it anyhow. I mean, it's no harm, right?
Yeah, he said, I wasn't trying to tell Stephen Miller. I was just trying to tell you that I love Stephen Miller.
That's right.
But so many good topics there. I want to try to touch on almost all of them. The education thing is huge. Let it's a freedom issue. Again, let people decide if they think that these unaccredited degrees are going to be good. And if they don't want to hire those people, then people won't go to those colleges.
Yeah. And the other thing is, Scott, though, I have to break this down. And you know, for broad listeners, I got to cut out the minutia. As I'm told, it's only about six people that determine accrediting. And it's a monopoly that you have to go through all these hoops. Why do you need a library of 20,000 to 40,000 books? It would be nice. I like libraries. But if you can't do that and you can provide a low-cost college education through online, et cetera, what's wrong with that?
Well, as usual, it's about control. They don't want people to be able to infringe on what they're indoctrinating people. And the money. They want to make the huge money.
They want to make the monopoly. Huge money. Yep.
I mean, the reality is it's worse than that. These student loans that the government provides, you know, they're the one thing that you cannot write off in bankruptcy. Did you know that? Student loans, you cannot write off in bankruptcy.
And I'm glad you made that point. And up until now, they didn't care because they would look the other way. But guess what? While we were there, Caroline Leavitt pronouncing they're going to go after every dime on this. If student loan is no different than other stuff. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, so it's really a big racket. They get the government to pay for it or temporarily pay for it. Grants, sometimes they pay for it. Loans, they can't write it off. I mean, it's really a huge, and like I said, you can't, there's no competition, can't go anywhere else. But on the other thing that lines up with schooling is school choice is how many arguments could we stop if we just had school choice? We wouldn't have to argue about what the schools were teaching. You want to learn, you know, some theory, whatever that theory was, the liberation theory, go to that school and I can send my kids to school I want and not be forced to pay taxes to a school that I don't want to use.
Well, Scott, I've teased this. Next week, we'll give all the details. We're excited. Dan working with me on it and some big people nationally. We're launching a school choice parental rights podcast. And we hope to have people like, you'll appreciate this, Jalen Rose on, who's an African-American athlete and then sports media person who runs a charter school now.
Yeah. I mean, there's the reason that there's huge lines to get into these charter schools. People vote with their feet, as Milton Friedman would say. That's where they want to go. There's a good reason because the schools are better and they cater more to what the students and their families want. And of course, people that want to control everybody, they don't want that as usual. Same thing with the colleges. But onto the consequential nature of the presidencies, I think that Trump, if he were able really to dismantle this, he would become probably the most consequential president more than Reagan. But Reagan has not only is the Soviet Union, but he was the one who got tax rates under somewhat of control. They're still too high, but he brought them from the 80% and all that. He had to do all these jump through hoop write-offs and things to try to pay a reasonable number. And he got that down.
Well, right. Let's say that again for people who don't have living memory. If you were in certain income brackets, I think some of them were actually at 90%, 90% of your wage.
I think that's true.
Was going to go to the government, and then for some, just around the 1%, it was about 80%. Well, you're not going to be encouraged to work hard and make more money for what if they're taking 80%?
Exactly. And as far as the most consequential of this century, unfortunately, I think so far it's George W. Bush, because he had a Republican House, a Republican Senate coming off of a balanced budget when he got in office. And he opened the door to make both parties guilty of big government and overspending. And that was a huge blow to trying to control the government.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. What's your bad choice?
My bad choice ties in with what we were just talking about income tax, was passing the 16th Amendment. And it was the same argument at the time. It was that, oh, we're only going to tax the super rich, and it's going to be 1 or 2% or whatever small number. And before you know it, the taxes, within like 10 or 15 years, the highest tax bracket was at 90%, and the thing was totally out of control.
Irv Homer, the creature of Jekyll Island.
And that's what they use to control people, is the income tax.
Sure.
That is the number one thing. If we got rid of that, we would have so much more freedom.
Absolutely, Scott. Irv Homer, the creature of Jekyll Island. All right, coming up, President Trump also signed an executive order boosting AI in classrooms, even kindergarten. Oh, am I on board with this? And I just saw a woman on TV say, oh, they're learning 2.5 times faster. I'm going to debunk all this stuff, and if I had Trump's here, don't sign this. It's bogus. Don't do it.
2.5 times faster. Like
2.5 times
faster.
Like
it's a podcast you're trying to finish quickly.
Spell cat. K-A-T. Oh, that was pretty good, Johnny.
Good enough.
That's 2.5 times faster than you misspelled it the last time.
Oh, my gosh.
Lou Gall got me to be the master of ceremonies and the whole thing for a spelling bee. And I had the check, and I could have walked off. These kids are supposed to be the big spellers. They had a round to go around, and if you misspelled, you still weren't out. They had to get their feet wet.
Do you consider yourself a spelling expert?
Well, sure. Yeah. I won contests myself. But the problem was this one kid kept on trying to pronounce the word after I pronounced it. Cat. Kid spelled cat. Did you say cot? No, I said cat. And I get tired of it. He was trying to do that in case he missed. And we had bells ringing and all that. It was quite a, I wish I had a tape of that.
We got
to
bring back the spelling bee.
Yeah, the spelling bee's fun. Okay.
It's awesome. Like the Dom Show spelling bee. Like we used to have listeners call in. We'd give them a word and have them.
Skookle's pretty hard. But
like fuchsia.
Fuchsia, yes. Ooh.
Do you know how to spell fuchsia? Anybody?
F-U-S-C-H-I-A.
Wrong.
Oh, there we go. Yeah,
no, he's wrong.
That's pretty good.
Do you know how to spell it, Dom?
Yes, F-U-S-C-I-A.
Nope, wrong.
What is it?
F-U-C-H-S-I-A-A.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so.
F-U-C-H-S-I-A.
I think that's a bogus dictionary you're looking at.
Fuchsia.
I think that's wrong. Okay.
All right.
It is all of that.
Is Google wrong? No, they're never wrong.
Well,
are you looking at the AI?
Yeah.
Is the AI giving you that answer?
Encyclopedia Britannica. F-U-C-H-S-I-A.
Oh, what do they know?
F-U-C-H-S-I-A for fuchsia.
How's it spelled in the Pokemon games? Maybe that's where I'm going.
All right. 855-839-1210. Let's talk about how they spell fuchsia in Sicily. All right. Sicily's known for fuchsia. It's known for a few other things, too. The Germans, the Romans, the Spaniards, the Normans, Normans even. Way back. They all left their cultural mark. We're going to do that, too, with Talk Radio 1210 listeners. We are all headed there. The sun, the sea, and the unparalleled beauty of Mediterranean Europe in Sicily and Calabria this fall. Headed to Europe, Ro and I and you and a ton of Talk Radio 1210 listeners will be escorted around by our guides from Conservative Tours, Ken Chase, nobody better. All this $55.44, including airfare. The dining events I've told you, and Leslie was just on at one of them in Venice, are unbelievable. I mean, the camaraderie, the food, but the locales, the local color. That's where they know to take you to experience all this. Bustling Palermo, the Quattro Conte, stunning Monreal, the Palace of the Normans. Call 888-733-9494 or go to conservativetours.com. You also enjoy the Godfather Tour part of it. That's right, all three movies, the locales from those movies, and the crown jewel of Sicily, Taormina. I'll see you on Mount Etna, the Valley of the Temples. This is Sicily, ancient, charming, picturesque. We'll see you in Savoca. Call now, 888-733-9494.
Oh, yeah. It's been a minute, Dom. It's been a minute, but we're going to talk some sports to round out the hour here.
Ooh, NFL draft tonight. Oh,
yeah, man. A little NFL draft. How are we feeling about the draft tonight, Dom? What do you expect the Eagles to do?
They're going to trade back, I think.
Trade back? You don't think they trade up into that top 10, maybe, try and grab a blue-chip prospect?
Well, there's not many of them. Pick the guy from Mississippi. Here we go again. Character issues, et cetera. But Philadelphia says he can kill somebody. We just want to win.
Look, we got a good culture here. I think we could turn anyone around, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I don't want to be that guy because I had a meeting with Dawn after. Did you guys hit Dom's usual socialist take of the NFL draft yet?
I did mention it.
Yeah.
And again, it's clear how else you guys wouldn't like to be drafted and told.
Dom, if they pay me millions of dollars, you can send me to Omaha.
But wait a minute, though. Why? Because you have talent. Let's say it was me. And they're paying me a lot, right? Greg mm-hmm. Stocker?
Yeah.
It can't send me to Buffalo. I don't want to do talk radio. I don't want to do talk radio in New York.
But you were drafted there, Dom. That's how it works.
I would be completely.
You need some kind of parity between these markets, like Buffalo, Green
right.
Bay, and Philadelphia,
yeah,
New York.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't know it. Like, I know Philadelphia. It would be completely stupid to do it.
So you're
not
saying,
only that, Maisie might not like Buffalo, I'm sure.
She might like it. She likes the cold.
Yeah,
her grandparents had a house up in upstate New York
get her
for
on
a while.
The phone. Yeah. Yeah, I think she likes the warmer weather, but okay.
Any position of value you want to see from the Eagles, Dom? Hit on first?
Well, probably defensive back. I think that's where they're weak.
Yeah, I think either that or D-line's probably the way to go. But, you know, one thing they won't take is the quarterback. I'm fairly certain they won't take any
quarterback. No backup
quarterback? Well, I think we like Tanner McKee enough, and we like Dorian Thompson-Robinson now. He just came over from the Browns in that Kenny Pickett
trade. How about
that
prospect out of Wisconsin he got there?
Henry? Yeah. How about Democrat Governor Tony Evers? This is a YouTube alert here.
Yeah, now this is, well, let's slow down here. People, I don't care where you are. You got to get to YouTube. And this is not fictional as far as I've been told. I would have liked to challenge this guy to a throw. First of all, he's using a football that I admire because it's like a Nerf, it looks like, sort of. And even with this, now this is the Democrat governor of Wisconsin, and it's almost like they're satirizing themselves to put this out.
Play that.
Well, we're going to play this clip. Here ready? Here we go.
Yeah.
Go on, Tony.
Oh, no. Tony. Oh, gosh.
Touchdown. Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
I don't know how old this guy is, but he looks frailer than Joe Biden in this. He doesn't just look, I mean, he just looks frail.
Yeah, can't get the shoulders rotate all the way back. There's no follow through. He stops short.
Yeah. So,
Dom, that's a tough one.
On your left, There is a screen of prospects, and I want you to play the role of Mel Kiper.
Okay.
Henry playing the role of Mel Kiper.
Mm-hmm.
Henry, why don't you introduce our next prospect?
Yeah, so our next prospect is a golden boy out of New York State. Not necessarily known for his arm, but more his communication skills. But so we'll see how good of a quarterback you think he is once
you
I play
grad.
This video.
Yeah.
You Penn grad.
Ah, young Donald Trump. He's throwing right through the circle.
Looks like a spiral to me. You know what, too? The comments are at me. How did a guy with hair like that let himself do this hair? I've just never understood. He had really good hair. And I agree with him preserving the hair, the scalp treatment he had done, you know, the operation.
Uh-huh.
But then you can't do what he's done here.
All right, so you're judging based on hair. Where does so versus those two? I'm assuming you'd go with Donald Trump as
Donald
a higher
Trump's
on the board.
Throw. That throw was
all right.
Pretty
so we
good.
Got one more prospect who also has great hair. Take a watch.
Yeah.
All right. See that guy run over by the back?
Dom Giordano's throw. Wait, we compare those two. Look at this windup at youtube.com/at12WPHG right on the money there, Dom. And you got
and
another one coming here.
The guy I was throwing to was a pretty small target there, I'm just saying, yes.
Yeah, but then you also have another.
All right, let's not show this one.
No. Well, we got to show the entire video.
Yeah.
You get the ball back.
Entire
here,
body
Dom.
Of work here.
Okay.
Yes, and what we're seeing here is Dom throwing some footballs at a recent event. He gets the ball back. Then he throws it to David Somerset, who's wide open. Wide open in the clear. Winds up. I'm talking like a moron like I am right now. I'm doubling up on my voice. Winds
well, wait,
up.
Okay, hold it 1 second. You hold it? Can you just hold it? Wait a minute. Linda Kearns, an attorney there, doesn't stop this. She should be jumping up and go, no, you can't do this. Something might get broken.
That is Linda sitting
That's
right
Linda
in front
Kearns.
Of you there.
Yes. Yeah,
she actually has to duck during this throw. So
okay.
Winds up for David Somerset, and here we go. Just throw the ball, Dom. Throw the ball.
It's got a light
Too much
over.
Time in the pocket.
Boom. Oh, and that is that video proof, Dom, of the time that you wound up, had your nice football throw, completely missed your target, though, with David Somerset, and almost took off the head of a beautiful woman.
Yeah, but let's go back. Let's take that back to the Henry. You can clearly see the light there. I didn't want to hit the light or the window.
Light.
I was going low. Yeah, look at—he's standing under a light.
Oh, come on! You can't blame the light.
Linda Kern, stop me.
Yeah, sure. I think what happened, Dom, is maybe your accuracy is just not as great as you think it might be.
You know what
be.
I think? I think those lights in the building were just too bright.
Oh, that's true.
Is that
too.
What it is?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a great
piece. So, final thing, where are you going to rank yourself compared to the other two?
Well, to Tony Evers, I could take a baby and have the baby do it. A 5-year-old. All right.
Oh,
Little X. Get Little X and Tony Evers.
I got you on my big board right under Jackson Dart and in between Tyler Shuck. So.
Okay.
One of the weaknesses
might
of
be a
Dom's
rounder
big board commentary, though, is can't throw a football 40 yards.
Well, but the strength is this. You're not going to sack me out of fear. I'm getting rid of that ball. Doesn't have to be the laces or whatever. In 0.4 seconds, the ball touches my skin, it's out. I don't care where it's going. Stop the charge. You're not going to hit me here.
YouTube.com/@12WPHD. Coming up and during this break, you can also go back and check out those videos as well.
Yeah, nice job, Henry, there, putting those together, or Dan, or whoever did it, because, yes, So, Henry, who do the Eagles pick tonight then? What do you think?
I like Nick Emmanuori out of South Carolina. He's a big 6'3", 220-pound safety. I think we could use someone like that intimidating over the middle.
Yeah, first-round pick for a safety.
We're at the back of the first round. Either that or they trade back, accumulate some more second-day picks,
right.
And go after more other positions like the defensive line, whether it's D-tackle, D-end, the safety position. Tight end is going to be a huge point of need if Dallas Goedert is to be traded this week or leading up to training camp. It'll be interesting to see where they go.
So you guys don't buy this. There's something wrong with telling a person where to go.
I have no problem with it. I think it's cool. I mean, it kind of stinks.
It's American,
It kind of stinks if you go to a place like Carolina or Jacksonville where there's not a lot of hope.
Again, suppose you have to go to Buffalo.
It's a challenge. It's a new challenge for you to take.
I would love to hear your argument between, because also Dom's in favor of relegation in the NFL.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Essentially having teams, giving them the ability like they
soccer
have in Europe.
Does it.
Like soccer.
Soccer
if,
does
if
it.
There were enough teams, I would agree.
Where everyone's a free agent from the time that they're young and...
That would be my
sign. You can sign them. You mean like a youth squad.
You mean like transfers and stuff.
Yeah. You can sign anybody you want under any terms. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's the transfer portal. You're seeing it play out in college athletics now.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. College is at least a little bit of doing that. All right. Nice work, though. That's a great. We have to rerun that tomorrow one more time. Tony Ebersole, if you missed it, you can see it. Go and see it. How in the world would this guy put that out there? It's just hard to imagine. All right. Coming up, though, Dan and I did not meet, but we got a pretty good description. If you're on Twitter, Rapid Response is brilliant for the Trump side. They are rapidly responding. And we'll try to describe the woman telling us about the crew that Trump has.
Greatly descriptive name.
Yeah, on Twitter. And exactly what they do. He's hosting the premier of Norway today, which is an interesting choice. We're running out of countries here. And we saw the place where they all come in. It was very good stuff. All right. The side question, much in play. Hit us with that all-time bad decision or choice. Somebody had to choose something. Nobody's gotten the constitutional one yet. 855-839-1210. And is Reagan more consequential or is Trump? This is a good decision by Trump. It's unique. Would Joe Biden be interviewed by anybody extensive? I mean, they're going to grill him, but it doesn't matter. The Atlantic, the headline's going to say the most consequential president of this century. Maybe the most consequential ever. Even if you see the downside, you got to say this is a consequential president. 855-839-1210. That's how you get in.
Dom Giordano. Weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.